This podcast is presented by Pacific Office Automation, proud partner of the Arizona Cardinals. Learn more at pacificoffice.com.
Pulled in by Wilson for a touchdown. What a throw by Kyler Murray facing pressure. Connor to the five and into the end zone for the touchdown.
Welcome to Cardinals Underground, presented by Pacific Office Automation. Visit pacificoffice.com. Problem solved.
Middle of the end zone, picked off. Kaiser White with the interception.
The latest news and notes from the insiders who cover the team.
Touchdown, Kyler Murray. That defender is in multiple pieces.
Oh, that was nasty right there, right?
Slam to the ground by Buda Baker. Like a torpedo, he came flying into the backfield.
I ain't scared of nobody.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
You know my new favorite term in American lexicon that I think we should adapt into football this season?
Slay.
Three words. Don't know where that comes from, but I'm going to ignore it, and I'm going to keep going. Danny Sarek, Darren Urban.
Mother.
Fully vested, doesn't have a laptop here, Darren Urban, to distract him. No ADD from Darren Urban.
You know, I take notes about what we talk about on this fine podcast. I don't know why that's so hard to understand.
Three words, path of totality. Do you know what that refers to? Because in less than a week, you will certainly know what that refers to.
Less than a week, what's happening?
Path of
Come
totality.
On, guys.
Final four?
It's all total solar eclipse these days.
Oh.
T-minus 6 days
Rainbows.
And counting, a total solar eclipse. And if you live like the city of Dallas, the city of Indianapolis, Cleveland, Buffalo, Niagara Falls,
Not
Maine,
here.
Eastern Canada, path of totality, 100% solar eclipse. And you won't see that again until 2044, 2045.
But we're not going to see anything from here.
64% in the Phoenix metro area, from what I read. 64% solar eclipse.
So are you going to get the special sunglasses to
midday
look at the sun?
Monday? Yeah, you need the special safety glasses. PSA over here. Okay. Safety first, Paul Blart. You got to get the safety glasses out there.
Oh, can we start calling you Paul Blart?
No, absolutely not. That's non-negotiable. That's a non-starter.
That was excellent.
That would be me leaving, okay? I do not answer to... I answer to virtually anything except Paul Blart. I'm just telling you that right now.
Okay, sorry.
And by the way, I now see that companies are jumping on. There's a donut company that is combining with a cookie company because of the whole, like, you know, moon in front of the sun thing. And they're like, they're putting the two products together. Whatever the company is that makes sun chips is doing a special version they're coming out with. Moon pie.
Yeah, that
show of hands. Who's had a moon pie before, right? They're coming out with
a
special solar. It's a sun versus moon pie edition sort of thing. So everyone's jumping on this. It's all solar eclipse these days, Danny. Come
on. So should we take a work-funded trip to Dallas to see the solar eclipse and do a podcast from Dallas?
Come on, Darren.
Is your dad going to put us up?
Sure, he would. He's a big fan of the podcast.
Well, I've heard.
By the way, the solar eclipse is so big.
How big is it?
New York prison inmates are suing to watch the solar eclipse.
Suing who?
After the state of New York ordered the prisons locked down midday Monday. And they're arguing there is an actual lawsuit that is making its way through the New York courts, where inmates are arguing that it violates their religious rights because a total solar eclipse is integral to certain faiths and religions. So
it's also integral to a possible escape when it's dark.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if we are going to Dallas, you can take certain airlines have advertised eclipse viewing flight pass. So you can actually get an eclipse. That would be pretty dang cool. We need to get on.
Wait, what?
You go up in flight.
You were going to say space.
Let's take Redbird 1 and we'll go up 30, 40,000 feet and then boom, we can watch the eclipse right in the path of totality. We'll fly right through it.
Did you tell Surf this? This is a content idea.
That's right. I'll work on that. Darren, like you do, sir, you know, you work on your laptop and this will be my turn. I'll work on the laptop during the actual podcast here, okay? Cardinals Underground brought to you by Pacific Office Automation. So how do I tie that into the draft?
I don't know, but I'm intrigued.
I'd say the only event bigger in the month of April than the NFL draft would be the total solar eclipse. That would be my segue right there.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, the people playing in the Final Four are probably disappointed you said that.
That's
but
right.
That's okay.
Especially when it's in town. You're right. So here's the question on NFL.com a few moments ago. Will the first four picks in the 2024 NFL draft be quarterbacks for the first time ever?
First time ever? Really?
I say yes. Let there
because
be.
Because it helps your narrative?
A fourth QB. For the first time ever, quarterbacks will go 1, 2, 3, and 4, meaning the Cardinals will trade out. They'll maximize it, cash it in, and then boom. Question is just how far back do they go? But considering the Giants ownership, John Mara just came out and told the media that he's authorized the decision makers with the Giants to go after a franchise QB in this draft. I'm guessing Monty Asafort on line 1 or 2 has the New York Giants, and then on line 2 or 3 has the Vikings, the Broncos, and the Raiders. And he's leveraging all four.
The Giants would be pretty intriguing because you're only dropping a couple spots.
Hello. Yep.
But I don't know. This has been fun to talk about. I'm starting to lose my steam a little bit. Over.
Come on,
we talked about all the options, the trade back options.
You know, I had a couple of people in the mailbag ask this week about like, is he going to do the trade before the draft or why would he wait? And I'm like, why would you do it any more than when you're on the clock? Why would any team want to trade up until number 4 is on the clock? Or 3 or whatever the trade might be, because you got to know who's there and what you're trading for.
I guess my only answer to trying to hash out that debate would be if you think perhaps like New England has come around to maybe trading away that pick and you have competition, someone could trade up to 3 instead of 4.
If you're the Cardinals?
You're the Cardinals. Why would you not want to wait? What if New England brokers its own deal to move out of 3 and you lose your trade partner because maybe 1 or 2 other teams who might have been willing to trade up now realize, you know what? I can stick and pick Bo Nix, Michael Penix. Maybe I can get them 11, 12, or 13.
My argument to that would be if the team that's talking with the Cardinals about a potential trade thinks they have a chance to trade to 3 instead, why would they trade with the Cardinals?
Well, it's the cost of doing business. What is New England asking? Maybe you get a better deal with the Cardinals. New England is asking for the moon pie.
So there won't be a trade with New England.
No, I'm saying, do you try?
No, I know what you're saying.
Do you try
I know
and circumnavigate New England and the possibility
here,
of losing?
Like, well, I feel like you're just driving it right back to it's going to be the night of the draft.
I guess it falls under the a bird in the hand is better than 2 in the bush. And I don't want to hear about 2 birds in the bush. Maybe I'll get to that story a little bit later.
Bird on the hedge, 2 birds in the hedge.
That's right, exactly.
But that
would be my only thinking on that front.
I get it, but I don't see.
Especially if you want to finalize a deal with the New York Giants, because you're like, you know what? Number 6 is a lot more attractive than 11, 12, or 13. Let's get a deal done with 6 now, because now I get one of the big 3 receivers.
But again, why would the Giants trade up now?
Because I just told you, ownership says, you know
okay.
We need a franchise quarterback.
So
let's make sure we're in the top 4, because we believe there are 4 franchise quarterbacks.
Before I comment, can I be clear? You're saying New York would make a trade with the Cardinals right now.
Yes.
So then what would stop New England from still making a trade, and then New York is making a trade to not get the quarterback they could possibly want? There's a fly or something.
No, what Paul is saying is that the Giants apparently like 4 quarterbacks, which seems really odd to me, but okay. and that if any one of the 4 is there at 4, they wouldn't care. Now, I don't think that's how teams operate, so I don't think there's any chance that
I mean, if you're New York and you're going to make a trade, you'd go for 3.
Well, you know what Darren needs over here? Darren needs yet another mock draft. Lance Zierlein 3.0 that came out earlier today. Has the Cardinals, okay?
I'm just going to, before you get going on this, because this is good stuff, I am going to say I don't need any more mock drafts because I'm addicted to the Pro Football Focus mock draft thing, and I've done like 30 of them. I did another one earlier today.
Well, I'm just glad I made it through a weekend without you sending me mock
drafts. Well, that's
because
I didn't send any to you.
Thank
but
you for
I
that.
Did do them. I did one.
You know what?
I did one yesterday where they traded down to 7. They still got Malik Nabers, and they got like 6 of the Titans picks next year. It was pretty good.
I take umbrage with that. It's like
umbrage with what?
With multiple draft simulators, whatever you want to call it. What is the software that you're engaging in? The whole thing.
PFF mock draft simulator.
Because it's sort of like the person in the office pool who submits like 17 office brackets, right? I mean, thou shalt only submit one for the March Madness office pool.
I think they're different.
Right? I mean,
I do think Darren is a bit excessive with the mock drafts.
Well,
there's got to be some.
I will say it's helped me learn a lot of the names of the guys that are out there, even in the later rounds. So maybe I might recognize
that's
more.
That's great.
Of these guys
if you want to do them, that's great. I'm just glad that you didn't spam me all weekend or after 5 o'clock with all your mock drafts.
I'm going to obviously have to send more to you so you can enjoy those.
See, there are several things in life nobody wants to hear about. Nobody wants to hear about your round of golf, shot for shot. Nobody wants to hear you tell that story. Nobody wants to hear about your March Madness bracket. They don't want to hear about your fantasy football team. And they most definitely...
No, people want to hear about my fantasy football team.
You know, and they don't want to hear about what are the latest 17th iteration of your draft simulator results, Darren Urban. I mean, I'm just giving you some free advice.
Is it your bracket? Didn't you pick one of the teams who's still in the...
I'm currently
March
losing
Madness?
To a five-year-old.
But didn't you pick UConn to win it all?
I did, so I'm praying that UConn does finish the job because that'll save me from the ignominy of finishing behind a five-year-old in the office bracket pool. Envelope, please.
Mock draft.
Here we go. Mock draft 3.0. Lance Zierlein says the Cardinals will trade number 4 to Minnesota, where the Vikings will draft J.J. McCarthy 4th overall. Cardinals will get 11-23. Not enough. I'm sorry. Not
That's
enough.
That's it. That's
not
all
enough.
It is.
Where at number 11, the Cardinals pick Dallas Turner, the edge out of Alabama. Cardinals then repeat last year's strategy. Monty trades down. Monty trades up to number 16 with Seattle. Really? Doing business with the 12s and the stinking Seahawks? Okay. It is business. They come up to 16. They take Brian Thomas Jr., the receiver out of LSU, who has been attached to the Cardinals in a lot of mock drafts. And then at 27, they go for Kool-Aid McKinstry, the corner out of Alabama. But once again, in my opinion, there isn't enough there to go from 4 to 11-23. Where's the QB kicker? Where's the surcharge, the retainer? Where is it? Once again, the Cardinals need to wet their beak if you're coming up for your franchise quarterback.
It's interesting. I like the picks, and I like the positions that are being addressed, and I like the picks specifically for that, especially because this is not a deeper draft when it comes to edge rushers or cornerbacks. So picking up two of the top in the first round, I like that. Brian Thomas out of LSU has gotten a lot of good reviews in terms of what analysts are saying that he can do. I think it's one of those situations where this is just a draft class with some really, really top wide receivers. That's one of the names that just kind of falls when you're talking about that. My problem is you're not getting enough from Minnesota to draft presumably a franchise quarterback, which is what they need. That's what I don't like about that. I have no problem with the positions or the players specifically. You need more.
Do you guys like the idea of where the Cardinals are right now in terms of our job, where there's all these different ways it could go? Or would you rather be like, I don't know, Bears underground and talking about Caleb Williams constantly? I'm just curious.
It's sort of like that quarterback competition / controversy. It gets us through August. This gets us through the offseason, Darren. So, yes, I welcome any and all conjecture and speculation. But in this instance, I think it's well-founded. I think the Cardinals are the pivot point of the draft.
It feels that way. The Patriots, it's really hard to see. I mean, obviously, they need a quarterback. I'm not saying they don't need a quarterback. Just like the Vikings need a quarterback. I saw a tweet last week where it was saying, if we knew, if such things, the draft talk, if such things held true over the last 3 years or something like that, then he was saying that. Not Trey Lance. Mac Jones would have gone to the 49ers third because that was what everybody insisted what was going to happen. And then last year, Will Levis would have gone 4 to the Colts.
That's right.
So it's tough for me to sit here and say, yeah, this is all going to happen because we go through this every year. And then inevitably, and then we talk about, oh, that guy dropped. No, he never dropped. It's just that we had so much time to talk about it. I was going to say something much worse.
You
than
sure
that.
Were.
We have so much time to talk about it, and everybody has so much time to talk about it. It's just when I think of Monty talking about the mock drafts, you talk about how I have gone overboard on mock drafts.
Yes. The simulator. Yes.
That's probably true. I'm not going to deny that.
You'll own that.
At night, it fills up some time when you're waiting for a pitching change watching the Diamondbacks. However,
at least you can watch the Diamondbacks.
That's also fair. You really needed to work on that. Everybody's doing that. Everybody's got multiple mock drafts. Everybody goes and does multiple things. Mm-hmm. We are not doing a mock draft here, but in a lot of ways, we are doing the same thing every time we get on the air. We're like talking about all these different things that possibly could happen. Pick one, Paul, and move on.
So on Twitter, on social media, there was a term that was trending to start this week, pump and dump. It's a Wall Street term. They pump up a stock, and then you sell it, you dump it, right? There's a certain stock that went way up and then went way down to start this week. Don't really need to name it. I'm just saying the whole pump and dump, and it made me think for a moment. I'm not sure this
did
is where...
Did you buy that stock?
I did not. Okay, way too volatile for yours truly. Maybe later, Danny, if you're lucky, we'll give you a Bitcoin update. So this pump and dump term, could it be applied to what the Arizona Cardinals are doing with the fourth quarterback? You know what, guys? Guess what? J.J. McCarthy is that fourth quarterback. You need to come up and get this fourth. And there's only four franchise quarterbacks in this draft. And if Caleb Williams is going one and Jaden Daniels and Drake May two or three, J.J. McCarthy is quarterback number four. We're sitting number four. The top three all need quarterback. You know what? If I'm Monty Ossenfort and company, pump and dump. To your point, you're going to pump up all these other quarterbacks that are these teams desperately need in this draft. Because remember, next year's draft stinks in terms of quarterback.
Allegedly.
So, to me, that's another reason why I think New England will indeed go quarterback. Because, yes, they could ride Jacoby Brissett for a year. First year under Gerard Mayo and the head coach and that whole thing. But are you really going to get your franchise quarterback next year when none may exist?
There's no need for Ossenfort to pump up J.J. McCarthy because Jim Harbaugh's already doing it.
He's already doing the job for him
so that they get whoever the Cardinals trade down at four and the Chargers get whoever they want at five, which the fact that he's doing that tells me that they want a wide receiver because that is what's being mocked to the Cardinals. And the fact that Sean Payton said on his own, unprompted at the owners' meetings, that it's a good time to be Monty Ossenfort and you're in a good place. There's no need for Ossenfort to go out and start talking.
I bet you Monty's not saying one word because this is like organically happening. I mean, it is what it is. I think he knew he was going to get some phone calls. But if I'm the Cardinals, you stay silent. Not let everybody know what you're doing.
Let them come to you.
And let them come to you. Like, if you're the Giants owner coming out and saying, I want a franchise quarterback, if I'm Monty Ossenfort, I'm like, high-fiving the TV when I see that.
Well, and if you missed it, I'm looking at these comments from Jim Harbaugh at the league meetings. You were there, Darren, and during the AFC breakfast media session, Jim Harbaugh said, among other things about J.J. McCarthy, I think he's the best quarterback in the draft. That's a ding. He comes out, he says, and he said, a killer comes out when adversity hits in a game, talking about the demeanor of J.J. McCarthy as his former coach. He said, that was the best I've ever seen a quarterback perform at a pro day, the best throwing day I've ever seen. And then he offered, unsolicited, that numerous GMs and head coaches have come up to him over the league meetings and said, hey, great job, Jim, developing J.J. McCarthy.
You should have gone up to him, Darren, and said, then you draft him.
So,
yeah,
here was the kicker.
Would get a lot on the market, wouldn't he?
And then to wrap it up, he said, he plays quarterback the best of all the quarterbacks. End quote. Meaning some might have better measurables, but the best quarterback
is J.J. McCarthy. He plays quarterback better than all the other wide receivers. Then, okay. I will say that...
And then you had Tom Pelissero, remember, reporting that J.J. McCarthy, based on all the other executives, they think that's where Adam Peters is leaning at number two overall.
We had this discussion last
Hello.
Week. I feel like, you know, for all I know, you know, Jim Harbaugh is trying to make sure that Sean Payton trades up with him, although the Broncos and Chargers aren't going to make a trade, but to get whomever.
Lance Zierlein has a Cardinals trading with the Seahawks at 16.
That's true.
But so I guess my point is that I'm preparing myself to trade out a number four. I'm preparing myself for Marvin Harrison Jr. to go somewhere else, if indeed that's where you've landed. As a member of the Red Sea, and you're thinking Marvin Harrison Jr., I am mentally prepared right now for the Cardinals to trade
out. Yeah, but you
have to
be mentally prepared because you're going to be standing up there, keister, blowing in the wind. When
at the draft party.
At the draft party when you got nothing to say for like another 45 minutes.
It happened 2 years ago when they came in my ear and they said, oh, we just traded Hollywood Brown. So it happened 2 years ago on stage in the moment.
Craig and I were live on air on our live stream. We're like, what on earth?
Yep.
It's an interesting discussion point of what's happening in those discussions behind closed doors in the war room. We know that Austin Fort wants to build a roster through the draft. So picks are crucial. The Cardinals have plenty of draft capital, 11 picks this year, to get that done. When you're trading down out of four, if that's what they decide to do, clearly you're going to get more picks. You're going to get more capital. And for a team that is still in a transition phase in the Cardinals, that is valuable because we saw that they didn't spend a ton of money in free agency. That's not really the right move right now. The right move is building through the draft. So that makes sense to trade down and get picks. At what point, though, if any of these top receivers are going to be even a fraction of productive and generational, as some of them are being described as, is it worth it to stay at four and take one of these receivers, then get more draft capital? It's important to build your team and be well-rounded. Absolutely. If somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be as good as he is projected to be, isn't that worth staying there so that you have a long-term threat for your quarterback, for your offense? And I know that when it comes to building in the trenches on the offensive or defensive line, those are incredibly important, right? You have to give your quarterback time and protection so he can throw to one of his receivers. Near the end of last season, though, we saw how ugly things could get if Kyler Murray did not have somebody he could throw the ball to. So I'm just curious what will be the final outcome, because that, I would assume that's what the discussion is, as you're debating between getting more draft capital for a team that is desperately still transitioning and has a lot of holes to fill, or are one of these players so good and so worth it that we're going to stay at four and we're not going to get some extra picks. We'll make do with what we have or maybe make a trade later on because one of these players is too good to pass up.
See, I'm sure there's those discussions going on, but my guess, judging by how Monty has talked to us in the past, is that there is nothing that is going to make that choice concrete until they're on the clock. Monty says every time, we're always going to listen. Now, maybe they decide player X, any of those receivers, are generational to the point where we want to take one of those at four. You would still, argument's sake, let's say Marvin Harrison or Rome Odunze, but we'll say Harrison for this argument. Marvin Harrison is generational, and you believe he's generational, and you have every intention of taking him. And then for whatever reason, Drake May is the fourth quarterback, and somebody, holy crap, Drake May's still available at four. And then they go and Ricky Williams your butt in terms of an offer, and you're getting basically an entire draft for that one pick. The plan was to take Marvin Harrison, but things change, and that's why I go back to what Paul was saying about making the trade ahead of time. You cannot make that trade ahead of time. You have to wait. You will not get a better deal than the one that will be facing you when that pick comes up. I don't see how anybody offers you better than that. Now, you have to have the right circumstances for that to come up. And if you're sold on one of those players, I saw another, tape breaker downer guy. I don't want to call him a scout because it don't work for a team, but basically was saying like those three receivers at the top, Odunze, Neighbors, and Marvin Harrison, this is a deep receiver class, but there is a considerable gap between those three guys and then everybody else. So you're going to be able to get a good receiver if you wait, but are they going to be on the same level as maybe one of those other three? And I think that's some of the decision that has to go into this.
Trey Lance, right? The Trey Lance deal involved three first-round picks. And I believe it was with the Bears back in the day. Then the Niners come up and trade with the Bears, if memory serves.
Sounds
forget who,
right.
Or maybe it was Washington. I forget who it was exactly. But the Niners blew the doors off that team, and they made a trade before the draft. So to your point, yes, you'd rather wait till you're on the clock.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. You're right, Dolphins. But if the offer is so outstanding, and that's what it would take. For example, a lot of people made the point that Sean Payton, in his 2+ decades in the league, has a track record of coming up for a player that he covets.
Yes.
So you could have something in the works with Sean Payton, but also to your point, does he love all four quarterbacks? Probably not. So if his guy is there at 4, and then all of a sudden, boom, okay, the deal is consummated. The deal is done. Something that might have been discussed, and then all of a sudden, all right, that guy is there. We're on the clock at 4. Sean Payton, it's your move. Okay, yep, pull the trigger.
The other thing, when I think of like the Broncos, and again, this is all total speculation, but this is what we do this time of year. It's total speculation. Obviously, he was talking about how great it is to be Monty and talking about how good some of these quarterbacks are. What if Sean Payton is thinking the whole time, like, I'm going to make sure that all these four quarterbacks get talked up and taken in those first four picks, and then Bo Nix, who's really the guy I like the most anyways, is just going to be sitting there at 12 because everybody's going to be over here and we're going to do this misdirection, and then I'll just wait and get my guy that I actually really want anyways.
And look, here's the thing with Denver in particular is they don't have a lot of assets right now. If you're going to get future first-round picks out of Denver, it's going to be in 25, it's going to be in 26. Is Monty willing to wait? Wouldn't you rather do a deal with Minnesota, who has 2 first-round picks in this year's draft, maybe the Raiders? You know, there's a lot of talk about the Raiders being a sleeper. Do you realize
Where
I did
are the
not
Raiders
know this?
Picking?
Raiders are picking 13.
13, okay. Well,
the Raiders, ever since they installed Antonio Pierce as what was then the interim head coach, had the number one scoring defense from that point, week 9, through the end of the season. So, and then they just added Christian Wilkins. So if they can just get some competent quarterback play, the Raiders feel like they would be in play for a postseason berth. So I think the Raiders are a sleeper in the old trade scenario to come up. Are they really going to go with Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell? Just like, is Denver really going with Jared Stidham? I think it's a resounding no. There's no way Minnesota's going to go with Sam Darnold for an entire season.
No way?
No chance. Your season is done before it even begins. How do you sell that to your fan base? They have to do something
well,
at quarterback.
See, I'm going to argue. I mean, sometimes you got to look.
Now, if you want to wait for Michael Penix at number 11 or Bo Nix, okay.
Well, here's
Michael
the other
Penix
thing.
Went out there and killed it in his pro day for whatever that's worth, ran a sub 4.6, arm talent galore.
If Sam Darnold is as bad as you are, as bad as you're saying, not as bad as you are. That
Hello.
Came out totally wrong. Sorry about that.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, really. why wouldn't Minnesota just stick at 11-23, get 2 young players at other positions, and then hopefully Sam Darnold is so bad you lose and you're at the top of the draft next
yeah,
year?
Yeah, you could. You sure your ownership wants to go through that? You sure the head coach wants to go through that? Does the head coach survive that? Does the GM survive that? I'm just throwing these things out there. I'm just saying if you look at, for example, these pro days, like the Giants were really well represented at these recent pro days.
You know that doesn't mean anything, right?
I'm just saying, when, you know, all of a sudden the
nice,
Giants,
Darren.
When the Giants are out there and when the Giants send the head coach, the GM, and the quarterback coach all the way to Seattle for the Michael Penix pro day to watch it in person, I think that's telling a little bit. The Giants would go out there for that. They would have a huge contingent. You know, so, you know, the Drake May pro day, Giants were well represented there. Washington, Denver, and Minnesota, very well represented at the Drake May Pro Day. Really, not many forecasts have Drake May escaping the top 4 or 5 at worst. So it is curious to see those teams in the middle of the first round so well represented.
Yes, to a certain extent, you would also think those teams would do their due diligence, right? Of you probably know there's a chance you need a quarterback. Okay, well, probably going to have to move up, so let's at least go see if moving up would be worth it for one of these quarterbacks.
I was going to say, doesn't
really
Washington
alarm
me. And once again, what did Sean Payton also say about Monty Asafort when asked, is it realistic, Sean, you could trade up and get one of those top 4 quarterbacks? And he said, yes, it is realistic. And then that's when he threw in the, it's good to be Monty right now. As in, once again, that's the pivot point. So
Paul just wants to take everybody at face value, and I appreciate them.
Just throwing it out.
Plus, New England goes rogue.
But once again, if you can go down to six and still get one of the top three receivers, for example, reports say that Malik Nabers is visiting the Cardinals today on a top 30 visit. Okay.
I'd be surprised if they didn't have all three of those, didn't visit with all three of those guys, though.
Me too. So,
and so that doesn't mean anything.
And that's the one thing.
Which at this point, too, is it's important for medical since not all of those players participate, participate in that, the combine or their pro days.
Once again, the one area where I push back on Marvin Harrison Jr., just a little bit, is that if you truly think he's such a generational talent at the position, then why is there a lot of noise, a lot of discussion, a lot of varying opinions as to who's the best receiver? There's a lot of noted NFL talent evaluators who are on the Rome Odunze trade or Malik Nabers versus Marvin Harrison Jr. So if it was such a slam dunk and he's such a once-in-a-generation receiver, why are there two other receivers in this draft who seemingly are competitive with him?
I wonder if it's at this point it's just has been so much talk about Harrison for so long that now it's less about Harrison falling and more about maybe Odunze or Nabers impressing and seeing if the gap is not as large as it was when the offseason started.
First of all, other than fans, like, who called him generational? I mean, all I heard from the time he was a freshman that Trevor Lawrence was going to be generational. And I'm not a big fan of those
facts.
I mean, I did think, you know, Larry Fitzgerald was thought of very highly when he was coming out. I don't remember anybody saying he was generational. He turned out to be. How the hell are we supposed to know that?
I'm coming off a very healthy discussion with Craig off a Cover 2 podcast about this and essentially the risk of drafting a positional player like a wide receiver at four. And I think we were on the same page at the end of the day, but pretty much people want to say generational, and that makes people feel some type of way because a wide receiver is a sexy pick. That's a pick where you can easily see the numbers and you can see the tangibles. A quarterback, yes, but that's more of a realistic thought of someone you would take four overall, or maybe a pass rusher, an offensive lineman. Those are more of the positions that are taken fourth overall. And Craig's argument was, well, look where Justin Jefferson was drafted, middle, bottom of the first round, and look how good he is and all of these receivers, and you don't really need to take one at four. But at some point, a player is going to be worth it. And I think people have this hesitation of, oh, well, everyone's saying generational and you don't know that and that's not worth the risk, when the reality is every top four pick is a risk. I mean, how many quarterbacks drafted in the top four in the lot, right? So I agree with you. That's my long way of saying that of I don't like throwing out the term generational when we haven't seen these players step onto the field. I also don't like that argument being used against drafting a wide receiver fourth overall of, oh, everyone's calling him generational or Hall of Fame talent, and I just don't believe that, so we should take a tackle. Like, you have to take it for what it is at this time of the year of nobody having anything else to talk about besides the draft.
The thing is, and you brought up Justin Jefferson, but you talk about Justin Jefferson or A.J. Brown or whoever the great receivers are at this moment. Like, when I hear generational, I think of one of one for a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Jefferson's pretty awesome. I don't know if I'm going to say he's one of one.
Agreed.
Why would Marvin Harrison be any different? Like, and that goes back, like, even as great as Calvin Johnson was, and he was great, I don't know if I'd call him generational because Fitz was playing at the same time, putting up similar type stuff.
Let's be honest. What sort of difference maker was Larry Fitzgerald in between Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer? What sort of difference maker last season was Justin Jefferson after Kirk Cousins went down?
You're going to get a certain segment of fans very angry with you with that conversation.
I'm saying the position itself is dependent on the quarterback.
And that's what I'm saying.
And the quarterback's protection.
Not that you're ripping on Fitz, but
no,
this idea.
No, not at all. I'm saying the position itself, which brings us back to last week or the week before where I threw out there, how do we know that Monty Austin Ford even values the receiver position at number four overall? That's
what we were talking about, the Rondale Moore trade.
Yes. So
Well, this is a great time to bring it up. Like, where is this Cardinals wide receiver room right now?
I mean, let's.
I mean, I think it's fair to say they need somebody.
They got Michael Wilson. So correct me if I'm wrong. Right now, under contract, in the fold for this coming season, Michael Wilson, Greg Dortch, Zach Pascal, Chris Moore, 31-year-old free agent, who's a fifth receiver, special teams guy. So, yes. Like, if you look at the Lance Zierlein mock 3.0 that we just went through, reverse engineer it, it's not a fluke. The Cardinals ended up with a starting receiver, a starting corner, and a starting edge player. Those are the three most glaring needs on this roster right now. And all three have gone unfulfilled in the offseason by design, I'm guessing,
yeah, okay.
Because
sure
it's coming
in
early in this draft, I'm guessing, that you have designs on filling those three spots somewhere between number 4 and number 35. Now, could a starting corner be nabbed at 35? Absolutely. I think it's deep enough. You could get someone at 35. You could even theoretically get that receiver at 35. I mean, there's a lot of names of other guys in this draft beyond the big three that really tested well, that have some really good film. A.D. Mitchell out of Texas. Brian Thomas, obviously, has really been climbing. The Ricky Pearsalls, the Keon Colemans. Troy Franklin, who is the number one receiver, is 6'2 and a burner for Bo Nix at Oregon. And then the one that's coming up right now, and our own Roy Green is cited as a sleeper, is the kid out of South Carolina, Xavier Leggett, 6'1, 225, ran a 4.39. And really was only featured as a receiver this last season. He finally got over 30 targets, and he killed it. Apparently, if you look at his film, he's a natural pass catcher. He's got a body like DJ Moore or a Debo Samuel. He's a burner. So I could definitely see the Cardinals getting a receiver at 27 or 35 and going corner and edge before that.
It is interesting. Corner, I feel like there can be some guys, depending on the run. Edge is the one that's really, I mean, there's a handful of edges that have been talked about in the first round. But yeah, like
Dallas Turner, Jared Verse,
and Latu.
Chop Robinson, Latu from UCLA.
But like the question becomes like, who is there some, let's, and again, right now we're doing this without any trades. None of them feel like they would go 4, but are they going to be there at 27? You know?
Correct.
And maybe they will and maybe they won't. I don't know.
So if you do business with Minnesota, Denver, or Vegas, 11, 12, and 13, you figure you theoretically could get one of those edge players right there.
I think if you're going to end up in that realm, it would, depending on, of course, how the board falls. I mean, something crazy could happen and one of these three receivers could end up down at 11. I think that Lance Zierlein mock draft 3.0 would be what I would feel most comfortable with, looking at what you need, the quality of those players, and how deep those positions are of addressing an edge rusher and a cornerback, and then you still get a good receiver who could be one of your starters.
All right, here's my question. Here's a good question to the two of you. What would be a bigger surprise to you? One of the top three receivers falling to out of the top 10, or quarterbacks going 1, 2, 3, 4?
Oh, the receiver's falling out. I think quarterbacks are going 1 through 4 right now. I truly believe that. There's so many teams who have such a dire need for quarterback. But those three Chargers are going receiver.
Okay, so if you go, that means
one is gone by 5.
Jets probably going receiver.
Are they? Wouldn't they go offensive line maybe?
Maybe.
Somebody suggested the Jets might take a quarterback.
Yeah, there's been,
because Aaron Rodgers is going to the last year of his deal.
And then
might run for Congress or something.
What would happen with Aaron? You know, well, remember what happened after the Packers drafted Jordan Love?
No, I don't remember what happened. Phil, please let us know, Paul.
Aaron Rodgers won another MVP the season after that.
Because, so that's what it takes?
Because he was triggered. Because like,
I think he's
join the club, Aaron. You've triggered all of us for 2 years.
I think he's easily triggered.
So, yeah, if the Jets want to get the most out of Aaron Rodgers, take a quarterback late first round. That's my suggestion to the Jets right now. If you want to maximize Aaron Rodgers,
so I feel like I'd be more surprised if all three receivers fell out of the top 10.
I'm not saying all three. I was saying one of the three fell out of the top 10.
One of the three?
Yeah, I don't think all of them would fall out. I'm saying.
I think there's a very slim chance that could happen.
So we're saying if quarterbacks go 1 through 4, you're saying then all three of those receivers go in the next 6 picks.
Yes, that would be my expectation. Just based on just position players in the draft, there's a lot of talent evaluators who contend those are the top 3 position players beyond quarterback in this draft, period. Because it doesn't have a generational edge rusher, corner. There's no Sauce Gardner.
He keeps going to generational when we've already debunked that.
We don't like that word,
Paul.
There's
none of that. Those players don't exist in this draft at those positions. This is a receiver-rich draft. That and offensive line. Look, Cardinals could get that offensive tackle, franchise offensive tackle, at 35.
You could make the argument, though, because it's so deep in wide receiver, maybe those receivers do drop because all the teams are like, we need to get these other guys first because we could get receivers later.
Yep, and I think the Cardinals might fall into that. You know what? We need to get an edge. We need to get a corner before receiver because there's select few edge players and corners in this draft. There's a ton of receivers. We can wait and draft that position later.
I am all for taking a long-time offensive tackle. My question to you is, if you've got Paris Johnson Jr. on the right side, you just gave a good amount of money to Jonah Williams to sign in free agency, presumably on the left, those could possibly change. What are you doing with the tackle at 35?
Well, you make sure, and this isn't next level, but you make sure that rookie tackle can play guard.
Yeah.
And he
like
plays
that answer.
For a year or two.
Yep.
The kid out of Oregon State, Fuaga, I think is the last name. Really athletic, really versatile, has played both.
And there are guys who come into this league as tackles. They're asked to play guard at first, and then they're so good at it, people just leave them there. You could make the argument, the Cardinals made Leonard Davis a guard back in the day, the number 2 overall pick. He was drafted as a tackle. They made him a guard at first. They kept him as a guard for his first 3 seasons. Denny Green came in here and said, we're paying you too much money. You're too big. You have to be a tackle. They made him a tackle. He was solid.
It's okay.
And then he left as a free agent, went back to playing guard with the Dallas Cowboys and made like 27 Pro Bowls in a row or whatever.
I know that name.
So, I mean, just because you draft him as a tackle doesn't mean, and if you play him as a guard, maybe that works out. But either way, if you get a high-level guy, you know, that makes sense.
I like that. I was just curious.
I know.
By the way, did you see the Good Morning Football just about a week ago? They are no longer on the air.
Okay.
Their penultimate show, second-to-last show, they had a panel question. Which team needs to nail its first-round pick? And Jason McCourty answered, the Arizona Cardinals. When asked why, he said, well, when you watch the team on film, they're better than you think. This was Jason McCourty. And I had a chance to be around Paris Johnson Jr. this offseason, and now you
Jason
need...
Jason McCourty's saying this.
This is Jason McCourty saying this. He said, now you need to take the next step by either Marvin Harrison Jr. or trading back. Take that next step like Houston took last year. And then Kyle Brandt chimed in. It doesn't sound like a compliment, but the toughest 4-win team you will see in a long time, the Arizona Cardinals. So they're thinking a rationale, if I'm translating this correctly, and as I was watching, I hit rewind and I transcribed it, is that okay, yes, only a 4-win season, but there's a lot to like on film, and when you fortify the roster, they put in the culture, they put in the playbook, they know what they want, they know what they need. And if you can fill a couple of these gaping holes with 11 picks as it stands right now in this draft, plus what you did in free agency, if you're looking for a team, and it happens every year, worst to first, now I'm not saying in this division, it's not like the Texans division, but if you're really looking to take that next step, the Cardinals realistically could be portrayed as that team, if indeed they nail the first round, which was the genesis of the question.
I think that makes sense. You can't have back-to-back seasons of, you were a really competitive, good 4-win team. This is the time the Cardinals are going to have to make a jump. I'm not sitting here saying they're going to have 12 wins by any means. You absolutely need to see a jump in production, in wins, and all of that. Everything else off the field or when it comes to the effort that is being put out there, that was all set this year. this is the time where you need to start seeing those wins start to increase in that win column. So I would agree with that.
And guess what? You have a two-time Pro Bowl quarterback. It's not like you're breaking in a rookie quarterback. Now, what C.J. Stroud did last year, that's why it defied all expectations. Rookie quarterbacks don't do that in NFL history.
Wait, you're telling me the Cardinals pick from the Texans isn't in the top five?
Once again, is another reason why the Cardinals need the QB kicker, the surcharge, the extra resort fee, if you will, added to number four overall, because you don't know where that future first-round pick is going
to
wind up.
If there's a surcharge to get picked up or dropped off from a rideshare to the airport, there should absolutely be a quarterback surcharge if
Facts.
You're trading in the NFL draft.
Thank you, Danny. Appreciate that.
You're
yes,
welcome,
indeed.
Paul.
Yes, that's so. So once again, you have the rest of the roster that you're filling in, but don't forget, you now have the full season, the services of a Kyler Murray, knock on wood, and you have a full offseason that he didn't have last year to get that chemistry going with his receivers, which we can all admit in hindsight was lacking at times, and finally came to fruition in those last two or three games. And so, okay, I mean, you saw Kyler Murray with the ability to bring a team back and get a last-second win against Atlanta at home. You saw what he did in the comeback on the road at Philadelphia. He's a proven entity in the NFL. It's not like your quarterback is an unknown. So if you can fill in lesser positions on any roster behind the quarterback, then guess what? You go into every game virtually with a chance to win. And that to me is what's so intriguing about the 2024 season. If indeed you're able to nail the draft and get some of these plug and play rookies, which is always dicey. A rookie, doesn't matter how talented they are. Look at DJ Humphries, right? Yeah. Didn't play the entirety of his first season. You can go back through Cardinals history, and there were solid first-round picks who weren't necessarily reliable their first year. Michael Floyd, didn't get much out of a Michael Floyd his first year as a receiver. He had all the measurables. He had all the experience at Notre Dame. He ended up having a couple of good seasons later, but that rookie season wasn't much to speak of.
Although they weren't a very good team his rookie season either.
No. So
with like five starting quarterbacks or whatever it was that year.
Because at receiver and at corner in particular, you're counting on someone coming in and being the leader, the best player in that room from day one, arguably. Sean Murphy Bunty might have something to say about that in the corner room. But, I mean, if you're going after a Terrion Arnold or a Quinion Mitchell, and it's going to be around 10 or 11 or 12 in this draft, yeah, that guy's cornerback one, I think, from day one to me.
How many cornerbacks do you think they, if they get one good one, is that good enough for you? Or
you got to get one in the first round and then one in free
I don't know
agency.
Why that was so funny.
I
I'm
just think
curious.
You're like, is that good enough for you?
I want to know Paul's opinion.
He's cross-examining me. That's cool. I can take it.
No. It's all right. It's all right. I wasn't mean to be an attack.
He might be badgering the witness a little bit.
It's not
bit.
Like I called him Paul Blart or anything.
That's right. That's it. Those are fighting words. So, yes, that's where. I mean, am I missing any other position?
Wait, you didn't
that
answer
is
the question.
Plausible or feasible in the first round beyond corner, edge, receiver? I mean, if they come out and take guard in the first round, of course, D-tackle. I could see D-tackle in the first round.
A defensive tackle makes sense. I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked if they found a guard or a center that's really good, that a guy that could maybe play both. And you could decide if you want to put Frohol at center or guard.
I mean, if you gave me Zach Frazier, the West Virginia center, at number 35, right?
You're just trying to pump
just
up
give
Wolf.
Me, no, just give me Wolf. Wolf is so clueless about his own alma mater. He's all over Graham Barton. I mean, who takes offensive linemen out of Duke? Come on. Let's go for the four-time high school heavyweight state wrestling champ and four-year starter at West Virginia, Zach Frazier.
What was your answer to Darren's question about how many cornerbacks will please you in the draft, essentially?
I'd say there's this might be a bit liberal. I think there's a half dozen round one worthy corners in this draft.
Okay, no, I guess where I was going with that was
if they draft one in the first round,
if
how many more do
the
they
first
need to
round,
draft?
I'm good.
You can get a veteran after the draft. There's still okay. Veterans out on the street. Fill that room. You got a round one corner, Sean Murphy.
What if you get like a third round corner.
And Garrett Williams, and then add one more, so you have four legit corners.
What if you have a third round corner?
And that's the first corner you take in the draft? Well, then you have to go out and spend some money in free agency, I think, to get a legit cornerback.
Spend some money
one
on
or two.
Who? Those guys aren't out there
Are
anymore.
There a couple of decent big names still out there waiting for a big payday?
I'd have to look.
So, That's that would be my thinking on that. Or guess what? You're going with a lot of zone coverage this year. That's what you're doing. So
it's going to be fascinating.
Okay, what else would we did we want to cover? State Farm Stadium is going to be a host of the Final Four. Darren Urban, big basketball hoopsaholic. Darren Urban, are you going?
No.
No?
No. I mean, I don't. I unless somebody wants to give me tickets, and you know where to find me here at 8701 South Hardy Drive, Tempe, Arizona, 85284.
Don't give away our address, Darren.
Yeah, because you can't find the address anywhere on the internet.
Come on.
Maybe I should change the topic and throw out there. Are the Cardinals really going to draft a running back in this draft? Are they going to draft a running back?
Yes.
In this draft? Yeah. Yes or no?
I think that's
yes?
a good question.
I think late.
Day three.
I can see day three.
No earlier than day three.
You've been kind of stumping for a running back, though.
Yeah. You have 11 picks. One of them should be a running back.
I think so.
Yes. That's if you had fair. 6 or 7 picks... No. But with 11 picks, yes.
If you finish with 11 picks, you don't know Monty is going to do with the packages stuff.
Yeah, we'll see, you know. But you know, if you have designs on a path of totality, as we mentioned with the Eclipse, you know, totality in this draft would be to get a day 3 running back.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fine.
So I'd throw it out there.
You know? Are you going to sick Pico de Gallo on your
That was going to be my question.
No,
what was the
no.
final name of your dog? I forgot to ask in the podcast last week. Last we talked to you, there were about 12 names you were deciding between.
Envelope please again. Cheeto was the winner. I had no say in it whatsoever. Once again, 3-1, outvoted in my own household.
What did you vote for?
I didn't want neither the dog nor the name, and now I have both.
Well, how's it been with the dog?
You know,
because you were complaining that there were two dog beds in the house, and I was trying to explain to you, well, yes, of course, you want the dog to be in the room where the family is, and you want them to have a comfortable spot. I don't know why that was so crazy to you. I would have three dog beds.
Am I seeing double here?
We have
two brand new dog beds. Didn't I just see a brand new dog bed in the other room, and now I'm standing in front of another one? Is that truly necessary?
Yes.
Okay.
How many paw beds are in that house?
Yeah, exactly. Well said, Darren.
Wait, so are you liking the dog? You're not walking it or taking care of it.
I'm tolerating
the dog.
I'm dealing with a dog. Now, the dog does have a propensity to steal socks. He thinks it's funny to shun all his toys and turn your sock into a toy. So he'll steal the sock. If you're missing a sock, where's Cheeto? He's got my sock somewhere. So there's that. Now, I do have a instance with some wildlife hitting my back window, a couple of birds who I tried to deploy Cheeto. No free lunches around here. Your job is to get out there at the crack of dawn and, you know.
Your Chihuahua wiener dog is?
Yes.
Okay.
He needs to be a watchdog and get out there and shoo these birds away, okay, before I take this 17-year-old punk's BB gun and take matters into my own hands out there because he's waking everyone up at the crack of dawn. But apparently that's... an absurd expectation to expect the dog to get out there and guard the back of the house.
That
I mean, come
type
on.
Type of dog, yes.
I see. So apparently, the dog is so small that he's
How small is he?
That apparently he can be the target of a hawk or owl.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
Dear.
So you just can't.
And you live in those outer reaches of
you
the
know,
valley.
You know, they make collars or like harnesses that you put on the dog in the backyard that have spikes on them so that animals don't
wait a minute, I think I saw that dog in some post-apocalyptic movie.
I'll send you some options. So once I found out that the dog was prone to being picked off by a bird of prey, I said, well, why don't we trade this dog back in? We're still within a month on a bigger dog. And that didn't go over very well. I was portrayed as heartless.
Well, mostly it's because they didn't want to name some other bigger dog Cheeto.
So, it's been a process, Danny. It's been a process. So
you'll get there.
By the way, I'm soliciting dog sitters. The two of you are volunteering during summer
you
vacation
live pretty
time.
Far.
That's right.
So unless the money's good.
Yeah. So, did you see the SpaceX launch out the back of your apartment, Danny? You caught the first one. Did you see the other one over the weekend? There was another one.
Was that the path of totality
no.
it took?
Yeah, you're right, Darren. Forget that because we got something much better coming our way. It's going to be the total solar eclipse.
I'm going to sidestep any Elon mentions here.
By the way, if you're in the Dallas area, I don't know if it's Dallas or if it's in Canada, 4 minutes.
They're close to each other, though, Paul.
4 minutes and 28 seconds of complete darkness in the middle of the day.
Well, is it Canada or
it's
Dallas?
No joke. I don't know. It's pretty much the
one
same.
One of the
you know?
Two.
That's why I tell Wolf about his native Buffalo. I mean, Buffalo is pretty much Canada. You know what
pretty
I mean?
Much.
We should have sold off Buffalo to Toronto years ago.
We go to Buffalo this year.
Yeah, that is right. You're right about that. So, by the way, any intel on where the joint practice is going to be held? See, you guys know.
I just got the Susanna Hoff side eye.
I don't know.
I'm always the last one to know these things. I know that you two are in the know, and you're just not letting it be known.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about, Paul.
I'm going to have to wrap up this edition of Cardinals Underground so I can figure out where the joint practice is going to be held. And that'll do it. All brought to you by Pacific Office Automation.